Let's begin our time together this afternoon, or this hour of it anyways, by singing number 110. 110. God and Father, it is a joy to see so many young people here this weekend. These young vessels that, Lord Jesus, thou dost desire to be for thee. That when that day soon ahead comes, Lord Jesus, when they enter into thy presence, it would be thy joy to say to each one of them, well done. We ask our God and Father this afternoon to continue the work of thy Spirit in their souls, that they may grow a little today, that the work that the Spirit produces, that fruit will be seen in what they are, for thy glory, for their happiness, for the honor of the Lord Jesus. We ask our God to make it so. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? But if any shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This morning, the Lord was talking to me, and we had a conversation together. The Lord was telling me about 2 daughters. The name of one was Judah, and the name of the other was Israel. The Lord's spoken to me about these daughters before, and I tend to like to identify with one of them a little more than the other. I tend to like to identify with Judah, because when the Lord has spoken about Judah, he speaks about her as someone that when these 2 daughters quarreled, the Lord's presence was identified with Judah because the ark, which signified his presence, was with her. And so as the Lord was speaking to me about that, I was a little taken aback, I'll be honest to say, this morning when he spoke to me about the ark. And he said, you know, the ark is going to be forgotten. And it's not going to be thought about. We heard thoughts this morning. It's not going to be thought about anymore. It's not going to be remembered. And I asked the Lord, why? And went on. And then the Lord said, referring to the daughter Judah, or the daughter Israel, he said, she was wayward. Well, glad to be identified with Judah then. But then the Lord said Judah was treacherous. And Israel was the more upright of the two. Well, that didn't make the conversation all that attractive to me because, you know, you like to feel good about what's said to you. And yet that didn't seem to make me feel real good. But the Lord has that way, doesn't he? Sometimes when we think about somebody else, the Lord knows how to speak to us in such a way that it turns upon us. And he makes us consider ourselves as he says in his thoughts, rather than in according to our own. At the same time as the Lord was speaking, he said some words that he said, "Wilt thou from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth?" And I thought of you young people. I'm not young anymore. That day is past for me. But I would say that's a desire of my heart for you this afternoon, that you, when you leave this room today, that you're able to say, from this time, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth. That's my desire for you. That's what the Lord, as it were, said to me in what he had to say. But you know, that wasn't the end of the conversation. It's nice when you think about something that applies to somebody else, and I thought, well, that's nice. That applies to the young people. But in the end of the conversation, when the Lord was speaking to me, he said, "Thou hast not listened from thy youth." Uh-oh. In other words, the Lord said, well, you talked about the young people, but you haven't listened from your youth. And so, dear young people, you can't always look at the older ones of us, but you can always relate to the Lord. And you can always have it in your heart to make him the guide of your youth. It's on my heart this afternoon to, and the reason the verses that I read to you, that we look a little together at learning to have conversations with the Lord. Now, what I had to say to the Lord this morning wasn't worth recording, but I want to say to you, the Lord's, what he says to me and you is always worth recording. And if you want to see the conversation of what he had to say to me, you can read it in Jeremiah 3. I want to talk about prayer. Conversations are two-way. I hope you let the Lord speak to you this morning when you got up. He speaks to us, as you can obviously tell from what I've said, through the Bible. But don't think about it just as a book. Think about it as the Lord speaking to you. Do you care what he says to say? I'm sure you do. You do care. If you belong to him, you have to. You have a life which wants to please him. So listen and let him speak to you. And don't be afraid to speak back. I said to the Lord more than once this morning, I don't know what that means. Tell me. Let me understand. Talking to the Lord, we call prayer. Like many of you, I had the tremendous privilege of being born into a Christian home. You sometimes think back what your earliest memories or what you can remember of your life when you were born, and you can't remember anything immediately. You have no memory of the first months of your life. And I can't specifically remember the first meal that I ever had that I could consciously say I'm eating food. But I can say this with thankfulness that I never knew a time in my house from the time I was a baby when along with having food was stopping to thank God for it, speaking to God to thank him for that food. And I can very early memory remember going to what's commonly referred to as meeting and sitting beside my dad when they had what they called, I guess later I learned to be called, Bible readings and prayer. And my earliest memory was putting my head down on my dad's lap and going to sleep. But I look back with great thankfulness that I was there and that unconsciously habits, good habits, were being formed for me by my parents. The very first memory I have of the subject this afternoon of prayer took place when I was about 6 years old, and I don't know who said it or how I came to know it, but I was told that you could ask God for things. And to my six-year-old mind, that was pretty nice. We had a two-story house, and one night after I got that idea, I got down beside my bed at bedtime to talk to the Lord, because I had something I wanted. And so I said, Lord, I want you to give me a bow and arrow set. Those nice bow and arrow sets, Lord, that have the nice rubber tips on them. And I didn't really know yet how long it took the Lord to do things, so I decided I would wait until the morning to get it. But I told the Lord where to put it. I said, Lord, I'll look for it in the morning behind the toy box that Grandpa made down in the den. So the next morning I got up and I went down to the den and I looked behind the toy box. I was crushed. There was no bow and arrow set. To be honest, in my memory, I couldn't really believe that. Looking back on it, I had faith to move a mountain at that time. But there was no bow and arrow. I don't remember speaking to anybody about that. My fuzzy memory at this point was that I went back several times later in the day to check again, lest the Lord had needed a little more time to do as I ask. I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm not going to try to explain to you why there was no bow and arrow set. What I do say to young people is I hope it will help you listen over the next 45 minutes or so, because I believe that what we're going to have before us will answer for you the question of why there wasn't. And furthermore, I would like to put it to you as a kind of a little assignment for the next 45 minutes, that if when this time is over, I were to walk up to you and say, I want you to pretend that you were my older brother or sister. I had an older brother and an older sister at that time in the house. And if I had gone to you and said, I asked the Lord for this and I didn't get it, why? That you, young person, would be able to give me a proper, adequate, to me, to satisfy me, answer. Although I must confess, to a six-year-old, sometimes answers are a little harder to give that satisfy than when we get a little older and comprehend things a little more. Here in Luke chapter 11, The disciples wanted to understand how to pray. I think all of us, young people, that's something in our lives we're interested in. We want to know how to talk to God. It's an interesting thing that we don't often talk to God like we talk to each other. Why? I remember when I was, can't remember the exact age, 17, 18 years old, another person in this room that I get to see maybe once every 20 years. The two of us were going to the Maritimes to Mr. Blennerhassett's tent for several weeks. And I don't know if he remembers, but as we were going, we had occasion to pray together and so on. And I asked him, I said, I can't understand that when you talk to God, your voice sounds different. You take on a different kind of way of speaking. I don't remember the answer. My point, though, is this. Young people, get to talk to God. Respectfully, yes, but in your own language, as one person to another. It's really important. Don't try to develop what might be called a prayer language. It's important to have a real, honest relationship with your God. Here the disciples, they wanted to learn to pray. And so the Lord's going to teach them to pray. And so he says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The first thing about learning to pray is to recognize the relationship in which you stand to the person to whom you're speaking, our Father. Young people, God is your Father. I speak to you that know the Lord Jesus. Understand that relationship when you're talking to him. Talk to him as a father. You know what it's like to talk to a natural father? Learn to talk to God as your father. Relationship has a lot to do with what you'll ask for or not. My wife would ask me for things that you wouldn't, and properly so. It would be improper for you to ask me certain things that my wife has every liberty to ask me. So get to enjoy and know your relationship, because prayer is, as Bill said yesterday, it's based upon having common interests with God. Do you like to talk to your friends here? Do you find things to talk to them about that you have common interest? Do you find things to talk to God about in which you share a common interest? Things that you know he's interested in, and consequently, hopefully you are too? Our Father, hallowed be thy name. As we said before, it's important to not only have a relationship, but what's appropriate to it. God is to be honored, isn't he? We don't speak disrespectfully to God, I hope. I don't think you do. We recognize when we're talking to God, we're careful to speak to him in a way that we believe and how we say things would honor him, would give him his place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus was teaching the disciples that when they were talking to God, God's interests came first, not their own. When we talk to God and we recognize that hallowed be his name, we would be careful, would we not, to make sure that his interests are number one, and that his will in whatever is being talked about is number one. Thy will be done everywhere on earth as it is done in heaven. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that not one person in this room today specifically asked God to give them bread today. But I hope that every one of us who talked to God today had a sense of need for his provision for us today. People who don't feel the need of God don't often talk to him. But it's an important thing in recognition that while God's interests are first, he cares about us too and what we need, and he would like us to tell him we need it. To make known to him that we need it and express confidence that he will provide it. And so whatever we see that need to be that day, we need to. Now, if there was a strike and all the stores closed, I suppose some of us would say, give us our daily bread today. But we tend to depend on man's provisions for things unless there's no apparent resource. And unfortunately, it's not only when we're young that that's true, but it's our whole lifetimes. We have to learn, perhaps through the circumstances of our lives, to become more daily, Lord, give us today our daily bread. He says, lead us not into temptation. Sometimes when we're young, we think we can handle it. We think we have some kind of resource in us that can deal with temptation. The Lord was teaching the disciples, you can't handle it. In fact, it's all right to ask me to preserve you from even being tested that way. Now, the Lord is perfect, and God is perfect in his ways, and sometimes he puts us into circumstances that do represent tests. God tested Abraham when he told him to take his son, and we are tested as well. But as far as a natural and proper sense of our relationship with God, young people, it's proper to ask him to preserve you from yourself. Lord, help me. Preserve me from the tendencies of my own heart. Those bad thoughts and worse that come before us. Deliver us from evil. We need it. A lot of evil in the world. And we are exposed to evil every day in one form or another. And we need to ask the Lord daily, Lord, keep me, deliver me from evil. The Lord, to help them understand prayer, he goes on and gives them this example of a man that had a need. And actually what brought the whole subject before my own soul is four words in verse 5. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Let me have 3 loaves. Hope if there's one thing that you really, the Lord gets a hold of you this afternoon, it'll be, lend me 3 loaves. Learn to be specific as you can in what you ask. It is true there are many things that we can't make specific requests about because we don't know what to ask for. But I believe it's an important opportunity when you're young to learn to be specific. It takes thought, it takes effort to be specific. Try not to be critical of others. If you listen in a prayer meeting, you'll find there's a lot of generality. And in its place, it can be right. Let's not be critical of it. But it is good to be specific. I want to give you an example. Make it your practice to pray every day for specific individuals. Every day for specific individuals. You need help deciding who they are? I'm going to suggest some to you, young people. Pray every day for your mother and father, if they're living. Pray every day, individually and specifically, for every one of your brothers and sisters. Pray specifically and individually every day, and I'm just picking this number, for 3 of your friends here at the conference. I was talking, I think it was last night, to a brother in conversation. Quite naturally, as part of the conversation, the comment was made that he prayed every day for every individual in the assembly where he lived. Maybe that's a bit much for you. I hope it's not a bit much for some of the older ones in this room. If this room is healthy, every individual in every assembly that is represented in this room is prayed for by name every day. That's a word for those of us that are a little older. Be specific. Lend me 3 loaves. Not only is there need to be specific as to an individual, but there needs to be specific as to need. What is it you want the Lord to do for that person? When you're going to talk to somebody about another human being, don't you, when you want something, know what you want and know what you ask for? And know if you got it? When you ask God things, do you know when he answered you? You should, and you can. Every prayer that you ask, everything you ask of God, will sooner or later have an answer. The Lord Jesus is a perfect example of the night before he went to the cross. He asked, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Deliver me from this hour. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Do you think the Lord got an answer to that prayer? Yes, he did. And he went to the cross the next day in peace in his soul. The Apostle Paul prayed three times about a thorn in his flesh. Did he know when the Lord answered him? Yes, he did. He did know. And when he got his answer, he didn't ask anymore. Well, here's a person, he had a need, and he went specifically to somebody that could help him, and he asked, and he received. But obviously, and it's to show us the need to persevere in prayer, that he persevered. If you have confidence that what you're asking God for is according to God's will, can't you be persevering with God? Is there a soul that you know that is lost? Do you know what God's will for that soul is? You do. You know God wants them to be saved. Then persevere. Another conversation with a brother here about somebody that was being prayed for. And I'm going to stop at this point and give the floor for a few minutes to Cecil Rusink, because it illustrates this matter of being urgent and persevering in what you ask for. Cecil met a man in his store a few months ago, and with that, Cecil, I'll turn it over to you to share with the rest of us what you shared with me.
Well, Don, it wasn't a few months ago. It was last Thursday. I was working in the store because my manager was away, so I had put a little more time down. So a man came in and he began to tell us how he got saved just a few months ago when he heard the gospel. And he said, for years I fought against the Lord. He said, three times I was almost dead. And every time I turned the Lord away again. And he told us in quite detail how he'd been out bird shooting in the winter in his boat, and a rogue wave had rolled his boat over. He and another man, and they almost froze to death. They were unconscious. The second wave had come along and rolled their boat over three times, and miraculously, they were both inside the boat, and it landed upright. But anyway, it was January, and they were sitting in water up to their waists, full of ice, and they became unconscious, but they were rescued in the mercy of God. He didn't let them die. The people that rescued them thought they were dead. They tossed them in the snowbank when they got to shore, thought they were frozen and dead, but somebody else put them in their station wagon, took them to the hospital. 2 days later, he came to, still not saved, still rejecting the Lord. He went into a lot of detail, but I'll be short. Well, after he had talked for some time, I said, "Would you tell me your name so that I can pray for you?" And he said, "Abe Lehman." And when I heard that name, it nearly popped my eyes out. I said, "Was your father Abe Lehman as well from Port of Bass?" "Yes," he said, "he was." "Oh," I said, "in 1967, your father and your mother and I and were on our knees in his kitchen praying for you." He called you his prodigal son. And numerous times after, we visited there and always knelt down and prayed for young Abe, the prodigal son, that he be saved. Well, as time went on, I didn't persevere like our brother was speaking of, because after his father and mother went to be with the Lord, I soon forgot and left off the prayer. But here was Abe. 40 years later, the Lord brought him to himself, brightly saved and so happy in the Lord. It was a thrill to my soul. We shed some tears together there in the store.
The next example in this chapter has to do with a father, and if he's asked for something, does he give his son something bad? And it's an illustration to us of when we have interest with God, it's good and important to know his heart, isn't it? If you're going to ask somebody for something, it's important to know their heart. And in that, what is given there, the heart of God is for us and for those things that we share together. Young people, pray with confidence in the heart of God. Don't question his heart. There was a point in my life when something happened and I was tremendously burdened about why it had happened. And I went to God about it and he didn't tell me why it happened specifically, but he told me this. He said, "Don, look at my son on the cross. That's how much I love. Can you trust my love for something you don't understand when I give you this proof of how much I love and I love you?" That was the Lord's answer to that prayer. It has left me in peace about a matter from that day forward. I'd like to turn and look at a few passages here in Luke besides where we are. The next one is found in the beginning of Luke in chapter 2. We won't spend much time on these, but they're practical. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord." Prayer is a service to God. You want to do something for God? You can speak to a soul, and you should. But when you pray to God concerning that soul, he also looks at that as a service. Does that require any special gift on your part? None at all. None at all. It only requires you to have a common concern with God about somebody or something. Prayer is a service to God. Here's a woman that's nearly 100 years old, I think. I can't figure out exactly how old she is, but she's old. And she's serving God night and day. That can be your service the rest of your life if you haven't already started it. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 22. "And the Holy Ghost descended," or verse 21, I'm sorry, verse chapter 3, verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him." It's interesting and worth noting that several times in the account of the life of this perfect man, the Lord Jesus, while he was praying, God expressed his pleasure in him. Here's one wonderful example of it. You know the Mount of Transfiguration where the Lord is seen in his coming glory. He was praying. That's how that story, that little incident starts in his life. While he was praying, it says. It's important to realize that prayer, communion, by prayer, with communication with God, is pleasing to God. There are parents in this room. Young people, if they're healthy parents, and I trust they are, it really pleases them when you come to them and want to talk. Young people tend to get really busy with their own things and their own interests and their time limitations and all the rest of that stuff. But it is a pleasure to a mother and father when a young person chooses to spend some time communicating with them. And so does your father, God your father. You have time for him? He has time for you. Did you let him talk to you this morning through his word? He had time for it. And it would give him pleasure if you would find time to communicate with him in that way. Turn over to chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Do any of you young people that are here at this conference have any coming up all-nighters scheduled with God? If any of you are contemplating asking some young lady to be your wife, I suggest that is a sufficiently important decision in your life that you be sure. Don't even think twice about asking her without spending an all-nighter or whatever significant time alone with God about it. Don't make any important decision in your life without being sure to spend time with God about it. Verse 28, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Do you have a problem with anybody? Do you have a problem in your attitude towards somebody and the way they treat you? I want to give you very practical advice about how to deal with it. Make it your practice to pray for them by name every day. In the spirit, and this is the important part of it, in the spirit of this verse, what does it say? It says we're to do it for their good, for their blessing. And what I mean by that is, don't pray, Lord, straighten them out. Pray, Lord, show your goodness and your blessing to that person. That's God's heart for them. Do you have a common interest with God for that person? The common interest with God for that person is God's plan and purpose and will for them is their good and blessing. And that's what you want to ask for that person. Let's turn over to chapter 18. Verse 1, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying that there is in a city a judge which feareth not God, neither regardeth man, and so on. Don't give up. Don't faint. We're encouraged by God to keep on. And he specifically encourages us to lay hold of him in prayer and not faint. Because it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on our power. It doesn't depend on what we can do. Everything depends on what he can do and what he will do. And he will always make everything work out for good to those that love him. He says so. So he encourages us. He says, don't faint. Now verse 10. Well, back verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Can't fool God. You know, you can have conversations with people, and I had one time years ago, a man explain the different levels at which people communicate with each other. Sometimes when we talk to somebody, they answer us according to what they think we want to hear. Sometimes they answer us according to the way they think they should be, but aren't. Occasionally, they'll kind of tell us the way they really are and so on. And human communication is quite imperfect because of the state in which we as human beings are and what motivates us when we're communicating. But always remember, when you communicate with God, he knows it all. It's not a matter that you're going to tell him something that he doesn't already know, even though God wants you to tell him. It's important to be honest with God. And being honest with God requires you to learn to be honest with yourself. That's important too. Don't go to God asking for things on the basis of what you think you are as far as your practical performance in life. This first man that's talked about here, he thought a lot of himself. And actually, it's interesting, he doesn't ask God for anything. He's just telling God how good he is. And in fact, he's not talking to God at all. He starts out, the first word of his so-called prayer is God, but it says he prayed with himself. He wasn't really talking to God at all. So when you talk to God, talk to God. Don't get down on your knees and talk to yourself. That isn't going to accomplish anything worthwhile. When you talk to God, talk to God. Have a conscious sense of who it is you're speaking to, God. And the second man here takes a very humble place. God be merciful. And that's the best way to talk to God. Taking a humble place, that's the place we should be in. We are in it, or should be in it, whether we're conscious of it or not. At this point, I want to add a little. We won't take the time to go look it up, but you'll find it in 2 Kings. You'll also find it in Chronicles. I'm going to introduce it with these words. Be careful what you ask for. You might get it. Be careful what you ask God for. You might get it. Hezekiah was a good king, and God was with him. And there's an occasion in his life when the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by the armies of Sennacherib, and he's out there telling all the people to surrender, and there's a letter communicated, and Hezekiah gets the letter, and he says he goes into the presence of the Lord, and he spreads the whole matter out before the Lord. And the Lord, that was a good prayer. The prayer is recorded in 1 Kings or 2 Kings, and it's worth reading. And God answers the prayer. By the prophet Isaiah comes to him and tells him that everything will be all right. And it was. Sometime later, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and he says, put your affairs in order. God says you're going to die. He didn't want that. He didn't want to submit to that. And so he immediately said, Lord, he cries. He has tears about it because he's so upset with the thought that he's to put his affairs in order and die. That God's service and use of him had finished and he was now to pass on. He tells the Lord, Lord, I've been good. I've been faithful. I've served with a perfect heart. And you know, the Lord doesn't deny that. The Lord doesn't contradict him in that. But the Lord answers him by saying, okay, you'll get better. You'll live 15 more years. So he got better. And he lived 15 more years. But you know what? There are two things that happened. There are tremendous lessons from that matter. The first one is that during the 15 years, he had another son who was a horrible man, one of the worst kings of all Israel. And he, Hezekiah, was responsible for having, as it were, brought that child into existence that would not have been if he had submitted to God. Second thing is that we read in the Chronicles that God withdrew himself from Hezekiah. Yes, he was those things, but what he didn't recognize is that he was that because God had made him that. And if I go to God and ask for things on the ground of what I am forgetting who made me that. And it's wrong. And in fact, it specifically tells us that he was proud about it. And God withdrew himself from Hezekiah and allowed him to have his own will. That's what he wanted, his own will. God allowed him to have his own will. And he made some terrible mistakes in his life from that point on because he didn't have the help of the Lord because he wanted his own way. Be careful what you pray for. I want to finish. Time's up. There's a prayer, I think, is the most profound prayer that's ever been uttered. It was in the language in which it was spoken. It was a four-word question. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Four words, question. Question that touches the heart of every one of us who are the Lord's at one time or another. Did God answer that prayer? I don't think it was answered specifically in this life. That is, when he was living on earth. Maybe some of you in this room are not all of us young. And maybe the most difficult prayers of your life are four-word prayers that seemingly have no answer. I encourage you to wait in confidence. I enjoy the thought of Isaiah 53 in connection with that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus looks at the assembled company of the redeemed around himself. The result of that abandonment, and it says he shall see of the fruit of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He will see God's answer to what God allowed and be satisfied. Whatever it is that's on your heart, keep with God, will have its answer. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for all things, for every trial, for every heartache, for every pain, and for every good expression, as we think of good, to see thy hand of love. We thank thee for this dear man that after 40 years put his trust in thee, Lord Jesus. We look forward to the day when his father and he will be united forever together in thy presence, Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our God and Father, that we can count upon thee to answer that which will fully and completely and forever satisfy our souls, every request that has ever been made of thee. We give thanks in the blessed and worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.